All right, we're back. We have here Brian Harry. You need no introduction, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
How'd the event go for you? What do you think?
I thought it went good, but you know, quite honestly, I think my opinion doesn't matter. It's really the people watching it whose opinion matters.
Absolutely. And if you are watching, we want to hear your questions, so please submit them. Let's start out with sort of some of the big announcements from your section of the keynote. What are some of the big things that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, one thing certainly worth talking about is the new name.
Right.
Now, Scott announced it, but I want to try to avoid that being too confusing for people. So Visual Studio Online was renamed to Visual Studio Team Services, and I've already gotten some questions on why. Like, why did you do that? And, you know, the primary reason was confusion with Visual Studio Online being an online version of Visual Studio.
Which it isn't. Yeah.
And this really struck home for me at Ignite in, was it May, I think, when I was manning the booth for a couple hours, and I just had person after person after person come up and say, hey, I'd like to learn more about Visual Studio Online. You know, what kind of apps can I build with it?
And no.
I'm like, okay. Visual Studio Online isn't an IDE. It's a set of DevOps tools. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need that too. Tell me about that.
Nice.
Okay, great. So, you know, we're hoping, we believe the name Visual Studio Team Services is more indicative of what it really does. But it's the same product. It's, you know, same capabilities. Obviously, every sprint we add more, and today we added a lot more.
That's right.
But it's the same product.
So just to clarify, Visual Studio Online, we just don't call it that anymore.
Right.
It's Visual Studio Team Services.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about all of the other goodness that you sort of added, because you're doing like 3-week sprints.
Yeah, we do 3-week sprints, you know, and obviously because this was a big event, we had a lot of stuff kind of land right now. And in fact, a lot of stuff, we're doing a sprint deployment today, which we held off till after the keynote.
Yeah,
just in case. and I didn't even talk about some of the stuff that's coming in that sprint deployment because it won't show up for a few more days for most people. But we landed some big stuff today. Among them is the public preview for release management. Mm-hmm. I've got so many people begging me to see that because they've seen demos.
Right.
We've shown demos at the launch. We've shown a few demos. Everybody loves what they see. They want to get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. So now people can get their hands on it. The public preview for Code Search is another one, which I think is just pure goodness. Everybody's going to like it. It's nice. It's fast. Allows you to search all your code across all your repos, all your projects.
Wow.
It's really nice. We've got the public preview of package management, which gives you NuGet feeds, ability to build, you know, create custom NuGet feeds, publish packages to it. That's really handy. Over time, we're going to build that out. We've in fact already got support for NPM. Yes, Node Package Manager, NPM.
Yep.
There we go. We haven't made available yet, but we've got it working internally, and I expect before long we're going to make that available. We'll gradually build it out to all of the other package managers out there. You know, obviously one of the big stories was the new Visual Studio Team Services extensions. Mm-hmm. And the whole ecosystem and what that enables in terms of rich integration experiences. The Hockey app integration, the timesheeting extension that we demoed. I mean, it's so much stuff that it's hard to even remember. I wrote an odd blog post today about it because normally I write these, you know, blog posts that I write like a paragraph or two on each announcement, and I'll include a couple screenshots. And there was just so much. It would have been like a 30 or 40 page blog post.
So it's more bullet
point. It's just a bullet point. Like, nice. It's, let me just tell you all of the stuff. In case any of this interests you, you can go find another blog post that talks about
goodness.
It.
That's awesome. So let's go to the questions. And obviously I have some questions too. Carol asks, will Team Services support build script execution, PowerShell, Bash that are not in repo?
Yeah, you can, it's just a script execution system.
Yeah.
So you can run anything you want. Now, it's optimized for stuff that's in the repo,
right.
Because that's a good way to get stuff onto the build machine. But you could copy it off a drop share. You could copy it out of the package manager. You could, anywhere you can access on the network, you can pull stuff down from.
So let's talk about release management. What is that? Usually what I did is I wrote code, and then there was some other people that she worried about how that all happened. So what is release management?
So let me try to draw a spectrum. When I think about release, there's one end of the spectrum, which is sometimes called continuous deployment, which is basically, I just have a build. At the end of the build, I kick that out and install it onto some system, and it's up and running, and people are using it. There's another end of the spectrum, which, for example, we use in Visual Studio Team Services, that where it's way more formal than that. I'm not just going to have every check-in, you know, go out to all the machines that everybody uses. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's actually hundreds of machines, and possibly break every customer that we have. Our team services is sort of deployed across, oh Lord, probably 20 different service scale units.
Wow.
And our release management system sort of gradually stages it out across those units so that, you know, we have a special unit we call SU0, scale unit zero, where all of our changes go first. And there's nobody who uses that scale unit but Microsoft. Just some internal, in fact, mostly just my team uses it. And we use that to validate all of our changes in production. They deploy into production. We sort of test them for a little while, make sure everything's looking good. Then once that's good, we sign off and push it to the next scale unit, the next scale unit, the next scale unit. And that sort of orchestration across multiple environments with multiple levels of validation as it goes, that's release management. It's about controlling how your code flows across your various testing, pre-production, and production environments.
Essentially, you're trying to make it so that there's this lever that goes from SU0 to SU1.
Yeah.
Is that what release management is doing effectively?
It is. And some of those levers are manual, because after SU0, we have a manual approval process. We don't go to SU1 until someone signs off and says, yep, this is good. Then, after SU1 to SU2, it's an automated process. Once SU1 finishes and everything looks good, it just immediately kicks off the next one. So it can either be manual or it can be automated.
And that's what release management will give for your software.
Yep. And we use our release management service to manage the deployment of team services.
Awesome. So Nick asks, VSTS build services and the package manager extensions are great, but can we deploy these projects to intranet servers rather than Azure?
Absolutely. You can deploy to anything you want. So there's sort of two ways in which to think about it. One, if you're using our cloud-based agents, then you can deploy to anything that the cloud can get to.
Right.
But if you want to do it behind a firewall, then you just install one of our agents behind the firewall, hook it up to the team services, and it'll download the deployment scripts and then run them locally on the agent inside your internet and deploy whatever you want inside your internet. It's just, you're just running your scripts on whatever agent you configure.
That's amazing. So literally you can say, I have my own build machine.
Yep.
You install the agent on there, and then you tell the cloud, use that.
Yep, that's right. And we do nice things, like we have auto update capabilities, so we'll automatically update your agent on your local build machine every time we push a new version.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's very cool.
All right. So next one. All things look great for Visual Studio Team Services, but what about TFS? Some of the extensions would be awesome, but we can't use VSTS due to heavy customizations of the process template.
So the extensions are coming to TFS. They're not there yet. You know, this is now, I think most of our customers have gotten used to this process. We first vet things in the cloud. We get it to a point that it's good and ready to go, and then we ship it on premises in TFS. And we've done that over and over and over again. In 2015, we shipped a lot of stuff that shipped on the cloud first. So I'm not yet ready to commit to, you know, exactly which TFS release the extensions are going to be in, but it is going to be in TFS. And the other thing that's really cool that I didn't mention in the keynote and is worth talking about is they are the same extension. So you write your extension once, it can run in the cloud or on premise. It can actually, let me even sort of slice this a little bit more. The same extension can work either with our cloud solution, Team Services, or with our on-premises solution, Team Foundation Server. The extension itself can run either in the cloud or on-premises. Like, you just can do mix and match kind of however you want. It's very flexible. It's the exact same extension model. It's a open standards, HTML and and JavaScript with REST web services model. It's super flexible.
So if they have a process template that they later decide, let's just do an extension to help us with that, they remove the process template. It's just an easy path to get up into the Visual Studio.
Well, the process template doesn't quite have anything to do with extensions. The customer question, what he's pointing out is they customize their process template, and we don't have process customization in the cloud yet.
Now, I
talked about the beginnings of that with adding fields to work item forms. Over the next several months, we're going to continue to build that out such that our cloud offering has the exact same customization capabilities our on-premises product does. So it's not that it has anything to do with extensions. He or she can't use the cloud yet because it doesn't have all the capabilities.
So it seems like there's some really cool capabilities coming from the cloud down to TFS and then vice versa eventually.
Yeah, that's right. There are still a few things that TFS has that the cloud doesn't do,
and
process customization is one of them.
All right, next question from Greg. Does Visual Studio Team Services support non-web apps?
Absolutely. We demoed today some device apps. You can do Windows desktop apps, you can do iOS, you can do Linux desktop apps, you can do, you know, web services, you can do anything. There's sort of the sky's the limit, anything you want to build.
That's remarkable, because in order to build an iOS app, you have to do it on a Mac.
Yep.
How do you do that?
So we announced something on that today. One, you can host your own. Just like I said, you can have a build agent. Our build agent will run on Windows, Linux, or Mac. You can stand up a Mac in your enterprise or your organization, install the agent on it, point it at the service, and there you go. You've now got an agent. You can do CI and CD builds, whatever. And we now have announced a partnership with Mackincloud, where they're one of the main Mac hosters out there, and they've now created sort of this special package bundle of build services for team services for Mac builds. So I'm very excited about that. It's going to make it even easier for people to get that going.
That's amazing. So because, I mean, generally, in order to build an iOS app, you'd have to buy a Mac.
Yep.
But you're saying you could now rent a Mac from and then do these kinds of builds. That's awesome. All right. Al says, submodules external for TFVC. Will it ever happen?
Submodules and externals for TFVC, that's mixing two things, if I'm understanding the questions right. Usually you talk about submodules and externals for Git. Mm-hmm. And we have two version control systems, Git and TFVC. Both are supported. Those are generally Git features. And yes, we're doing them. They're coming. I don't have a date for you, but they're both important things that we're going to get done.
Awesome. Dan asks, what are the major functional areas of the new Visual Studio Team Services APIs?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that. You know, generally, all of the new services we introduce, we produce REST APIs for. That's now just our practice.
Right.
Everything comes with REST APIs. So there are release management REST APIs with the new release management service. The package management service has REST APIs. Everything that we do, and I don't know that we've, you know, did we introduce any new REST APIs for services that we already had? Not that I recall.
Okay.
So it's really around the new capabilities that we've introduced would have new REST APIs associated with them. And then a bunch of new APIs associated with the extensions.
Sure.
So there's a set of things we had to enable that kind of UI integration.
Awesome. Next question from Kenneth. Will all the Kanban features come to the Sprint boards? I'm thinking of tag colors and swim lanes, etc.
I'll say yes, roughly. Like, I don't know if swim lanes are going to come or not because it's kind of a Kanban concept.
Yeah.
But yes, hierarchical boards, all of the coloring and customization capabilities. Our plan is to make them have roughly the same set of capabilities.
So there is this new magical term. I don't know how new it is. Maybe it's new to me. the DevOps sort of magical unicorn term of what it is that we need to get to, if you're not already. Can you sort of describe what that term is and then how the team services helps with that?
Sure. So DevOps is sort of a term used to describe a set of practices. And those practices are intended to help you solve a problem. The problem that everybody's struggling with right now is, how do I get my code and new capabilities to my customers as quickly as possible, and how do I get feedback from those customers to improve what I'm doing? So I want this super tight cycle of, you know, building stuff, getting it to my customers, learning from their experiences with it, and building the next thing. And that's hard because there's a lot of stuff involved in that process. So when you think about DevOps, it the core of it usually includes your sort of automated pipeline. So build automation, continuous integration, deployment, configuration, release management, some kind of application telemetry, maybe an experimentation platform. And that's kind of the core of your DevOps cycle. And I think the term ends up getting used in a lot of ways. It's often talked, because these things often straddle the boundaries between what's historically been the dev team and what's been the ops team. Very often it's talked about in the context of roles and the way in which these two organizations have to work together, because the reality we live in is, in many, many places we work, they are different roles, different people. And there's an evolving boundary between them and an evolving set of ways that they work together that are coupled together with the tooling and process changes that are happening.
That's awesome. All right, next question from Mike. When will we be able to have conversations, i.e. at mentions, on work items?
Coming soon. So at mentions is a feature that made it into pull requests recently. Where when I'm commenting on a pull request, I can say, hey, you know, at Buck Hodges, take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And it'll send Buck a piece of mail with a link back to the pull request for him to come look at it. We're going to be adding at mentions to everything. Like, everywhere you can write a comment on anything, you'll be able to at mention somebody and they'll get a notification. And in fact, the next one we're doing is work items. So in the work items discussions, you'll be able to do that.
Here's another question. Is building apps that reference third-party libraries like DevExpress or others supported in Visual Studio Team Services?
Yes, absolutely, it is supported. There are tricks around licensing, and certainly there are some of those third-party components have licensing mechanisms that would make it very difficult for you to use our build servers for it, because you have to do some license registration process on the server, and they're not amenable to that.
I see.
We have, for example, with Xamarin, Xamarin has built an extension to handle the license registration on our build servers.
Got it.
Some of the third parties have not. So in the case that they have not, then they could just set up their own build server. Again, point it at Team Services, register the and license the components on that server, and then they can build and use it just fine.
All right. James asks, what kind of apps use release management today?
So I think, you know, historically when we talk about release management, most people immediately think about server apps, because that's where we've used it the most. It's the staging out through deployments. And so I would say every kind of sort of web/cloud app is amenable to release management. And virtually every mission critical app uses some form of release management. Sometimes it's a very manual one. You got a release manager sort of tracking all of these processes and sign-offs. Release management tooling kind of helps automate all of that stuff and make it a lot better. You know, I also think about release management in the mobile space, and it's very different than it is in the cloud or the services space.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Because in the cloud and the services space, you're deploying directly to the server that you're working on. In mobile, you're generally not. What you're doing is you're publishing to some store or something and getting users to download it. But just like I described how release management, one of the core goals of release management is to control exposure. So you want to expose a small number of customers to it, get them to try it, get some feedback. And when you're confident it's working well, you want to expose more customers to it. So the analogy to that in the device space is beta testing, right? I want to give it out to a handful of trusted people, let them try it, get some feedback, watch crash reports, all that kind of stuff. And that's exactly what Hockey App does for devices, for iOS, for Android, and for Windows devices. Gives you the ability to set up betas of your application. Users can sign up to be beta testers for you, and then you can push updates very frequently, you know, multiple times a day if you want, of that app to your beta store, and users will get notifications and can download and upgrade the app. And then when you're happy, you've got a version of that app in the, you know, in the beta test thing that's going well, you push it to the Apple Store or the, you know, the Google Play Store or the Windows Store and make it available broadly. So to me, that is mobile release management.
Got it. So just to finish up, because we're kind of running out of time, a dev out there, she might be super excited about all of this stuff in Visual Studio Team Services. How can she get started? How much is it going to cost? Where can she go?
Sure. So start with visualstudio.com. Everything ultimately links off of that. You can, from visualstudio.com, easily sign up for a Team Services account. They're free for up to 5 users. Includes most all of the services in the free package. And it's a super, super easy to get started.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, my friend. It's always good to have you. Now we have Dan with another exciting guest. I'm pretty excited that he's actually here with me. So we're going to toss it over to Dan.